1979. A young loose cannon visits his friend Brad's house and is presented by an album that's cover looks like superheroes flying over a destroyed city. Brad drops the needle on the album Destroyer. Loose Cannon likes what he hears and is immediately addicted to rock. He envisions a world where he could have his own show, sharing music with the masses. With Destroyer playing in the background, Loose Cannon picks up the mic and a legend is born.
Okay! Welcome to Cobras and Fire. Rock's not dead, it's hiding. You found it. Well done. I'm your host, Loose Cannon.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Loose Cannon. Today's episode is called Black is the New Black. We are going to focus on bands in the last 5 to 7 years that have uncreatively used the word black in their band name. And there's a lot of them, but there's some great music there too. Baco is going to be here in just a little bit, but I want to mention that Cobras and Fire is now on Facebook. That's facebook.com/cobrasandfire. We are on iTunes. Be sure to subscribe to us there and possibly leave a review if you feel compelled to do so. We are on Stitcher. We are on Spreaker. We are on SoundCloud. We are on pretty much every podcast format available that you can stream or download. So check us out. If you haven't heard part one of Black is the New Black, be sure to go check that episode out as well as past ones. But before the music, Baco and I are going to discuss important events such as Skid Row's new singer and their business sense. So let's get down to it. Here's our new sponsor. This is Black is the New Black.
Rock vocal power.
Have you ever wanted to sing like Vince Neil? I bet you have. Well, now that dream's come true, thanks to Vince Neil's Rock Vocal Power Instructional Series.
Rock Vocal Power.
Hi, I'm Vince Neil of Motley Crue, one of the greatest singers of all time. My Rock Vocal Power program includes the art of singing every fifth word. Plus, if you run out of breath, just point the mic stand at the audience and they'll sing it for you.
Rock Vocal Power.
In addition, I'll teach you how to destroy our national anthem and disgrace our country at the same time.
Rock Vocal Power.
This is all done by a strict regimen of eating cheeseburgers at midnight, drinking heavily, DUIs.
Rock Vocal Power.
Just apply at vincevocalpower.com today.
Rock Vocal Power.
There is nobody that I would accept lip syncing from more than Vince Neil. I would go to a concert and be
I'm with you.
Yeah. You know, because I go there and, you know, the show is great and all that stuff, but he just fucking shits all over the vocals. And I'll tell you what, since we're going over that right now, I'm not sure what else you have to say about this, but have you heard the Van Halen live album?
I have, but on the Vince Neil thing, the reason I brought up the Dirt book is that, like, only time he was ever pushed was when they did Dr. Feelgood. And in the book, all he does is complain about, like, being made to sink. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, the Van Halen is, I don't know. I it doesn't sound great as far as Dave's vocals, but the music is actually pretty solid. And
band sounds phenomenal. I mean, that when when they start with Unchained, I'm listening to it and I'm like, I think if I was in the audience and I was singing along with everybody around me, I would still probably enjoy this because they are just spot on. I mean, obviously Unchained, the riff itself is just a monster, but just the way it's playing. The only thing I am missing is I did notice in the vocal harmonies, you know, there is a hole with Michael Anthony gone, obviously. I mean, I can definitely tell the difference.
Yeah, it's pretty big, but I just, you know, at least it's a live record. You know, people complain, you know, about, like, well, you talked about Kiss Alive being so doctored. And there's
doctored
reasons
up for me. Doctored.
There's reasons for that, but you don't get it both ways. You want a polished record? To be honest with you, this is why I don't like live albums. They're either not live or they don't sound good.
Well, it's not just the fact that he doesn't sound good. He's off cue. He's like a step behind, even.
He doesn't give a fuck.
I know. He's just nuts. I just can't believe it. I look at that, and I know you're a Sammy Hagar fan, and I thought it would have been the greatest thing for them just to, you know, just flip back to Sammy for a tour, then go back. I mean, they have the ability to. They can Definitely. Mine so many fans where every 5 years, if they just flip the switch on and off, I mean, fuck, that's a hell of a business model because both sides are profitable.
Sammy's an anomaly, though. Easy for me to say. An anomaly. I mean, he literally still sounds like he did on, Rock Candy. And you just don't get that with guys that have been around as long as him has. You see Paul Stanley, Steven Tyler, David LaRoth. They've all lost quite a bit.
I love when you always say his name. Say that name again.
David LaRoth?
That's not. It's David Lee Roth.
No, he's French. LaRoth.
Oh, continue. I wasn't aware.
No, that's fine. Maybe I should clarify for the listeners. I know it's Lee Roth.
Do you have any other? I forgot. Our second sponsor. Did you want to cover that right before we start off the theme for today?
This week's podcast is brought to us by I Remember You Need a Job Staffing. Finding work for unemployed Skid Row lead singers for over 15 years. I Remember You Need a Job Staffing. After all, it's just monkey business. Their available employee base doubled this week.
Yeah, it did. I mean,
in 1 week.
Well, yeah, unbelievable. I mean, talk about growth in that sector.
Yeah, it's 100% growth.
Unbelievable. I mean, if you're in that business, you're like, whoa, this is great.
If your name is Johnny Solinger, you are really glad this service is there for you.
I mean, they're going to be on him. I mean, top-notch service, everything. I mean, this guy, I mean, he shouldn't be even upset. But yeah, I saw that whole thing that went down. It was so bizarre. And then the early afternoon, I see that that he says, "I'm going on a solo career." I'm like,
"Yeah,
what does that even mean?" And then, of course, 1% of my brain just said to me, "Oh my God, maybe they're finally going to do it." Because I thought to myself, next year is the 25th anniversary of Slave to the Grind, one of my definitely. It's got to be in my top 20 albums. I love that album. There's only like Brilliant. Two songs I could do without. It's fucking great. And all I know is that if I'm a band, why would you not get together for one time for a tour, right?
There's something deeper than any of them have ever talked about. I think because the reasons they give are so stupid. I mean, if people quit their jobs that pay as much as a Skid Row gig over crap like that, I just think there's something much more personal that isn't coming out. That's my gut feeling anyway. I'm with you. I agree with you. You know,
I think you're 100% right. I mean, the only thing I can think of is he basically slept with all the band members' wives. I mean, I have no idea.
I actually think it's worse than that. I mean, I don't even
really?
Know what how. Yeah, I just. Boy, you can get over a girl unless you're still married to her.
The fact that they fired him over the phone after, you know, a decade and a half is ridiculous. But the main thing that I'm looking at here is that I wanted to touch on is just the fact that if you wanted to put like a business plan or of the music business, like an anti-business music plan, it would be Skid Row. They would use as a case study because it just doesn't make it doesn't make any sense. And what I mean by that is this: they could have it at management schools and universities and just say this is the worst plan of being successful you've ever seen. And there's no reason why they can't. You know, if do you think Eddie Van Halen likes David LaRoth, as you like to call him? No.
That's his
they
name.
They go in separate jets or buses or whatever. They are completely isolated. I don't understand how anybody can't just go on stage for 90 minutes, because that was what it would be. It would be a 90-minute show. That's the material that they have at most. And they'd be throwing in a couple covers or whatever.
And I like when they play the new stuff.
Oh, I'll touch on that in just a second. Thank you for reminding me. There's no reason that you can't go and have no interaction with the other human, because we all work with people that we've disagreed with, but somehow we make it work. That person can't go on stage, they can't kill it for 90 minutes, make fans happy. More importantly, they would put away bank. I mean, I'm not talking about, I think they would sell, 4,000-seaters, 5,000-seaters. It's not going to be a huge thing. What?
You're right and you're wrong. There is a little bit of difference. Some bands do it. That's in the sense that you're right. We saw Kiss pretend to like each other for the 5 years they reunited. You're wrong in the sense that it's the same as working with somebody at a job. Because at a job, people who don't like each other routinely show their disdain for each other in the workplace all the time. And when you're in a band, part of the selling point is that you're on stage having fun. Turn on the TV, cause I got nowhere to go. It seems like there's a little trouble down in Mexico. A 13-year-old boy robs a store so he can't eat. He got into a tie while killers walk the street. I tend to disagree with the level of success. We have to remember this is pretty much a 2 or 3 hit band, and as much as they do good on like combination tours, and as much as I like them, I agree with you that "Slave to the Grind" is a fantastic record. There just really isn't a calling much more than 1,000 people in a major city, and it's smaller everywhere else. So even with Sebastian.
No, I would have to disagree with you on that, because the fact is they sold...
Then you're just going to be wrong.
No, I don't think so. I think that if they because they sold 10 million, and people just know who they are. I mean, it doesn't matter who you're speaking to. You can... my 20-year-old cousin is very familiar with them, too, and I think that
all you're telling me is that Slaughter would open for them.
No, that's different. Okay, so I've heard from many people like Snake and Rachel and everybody from the band. And again, this is one of those two albums for me. I like about 80% of them. The first one's a little weaker, but they've held up for me. So
they say,
you know what? The reason we don't want to be back with Sebastian. Oh my God.
LaRoth.
The LaRoth Sebastian. All right. The reason that they say they won't get back with Sebastian is the fact that they say they don't want to live in the past. They don't want to play all those old songs. They want to live now and play their new material. You've heard that before, right?
Well, I don't know if I've heard him say it that bluntly.
I've seen multiple interviews saying that we don't want to, live in our past. We want to... We've got these new EPs out. We want to focus on that.
Yeah, okay. All right. I know what you're going with it.
Okay. You've ever gone to Setlist FM before? I'm assuming
sure.
You have.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So here's a set list from 2015. I'm sorry, not 2015. 2014. So here it goes. You ready?
I'm ready.
Big Guns, opener. Making a Mess, Piece of Me, 18 in Life, Thick as the Skin. Okay, that's a newer one. Riot Act. Yeah. Someone new, but okay. Riot Act, In a Darkened Room, Kings of Demolition, that's a new one. Psychotherapy, Ramones cover. I Remember You, Monkey Business, Slave to the Grind, Youth Gone Wide. Youth Gone Wide? Youth Gone Wild.
Youth Gone Wild.
That's it. That's like, I guess that's something about an eating disorder.
I was thinking a girl who got banged a lot in high school.
That's much better. You win. You win on that one. Youth Gone Wide. That is a Steel Panther song in the very near future. But did you
heard it here
now,
first?
Do you see the contradiction in their statements?
Of course.
Oh my God. So enough on that. The point being is fucking...
Fuck Skid Row.
All right, so enough of the chatter, Baco. Let's get into the theme of the episode. And that theme is...
Black is the new black.
Okay, so just a week or so ago, in preparing for this episode, when I was just typing in the word black into Spotify and whatnot, I came upon Black Star Riders. And I've heard of this band, and I knew that it was a couple guys from Thin Lizzy. And the first album, they just kind of changed the name to Black Star Riders because they didn't want to say Thin Lizzy because, you know, people wouldn't accept it as much. So I wasn't really interested in this when it came out, but I heard, you know, the title track, Killer Instinct, and I just loved the harmonizing guitars. The riff was very catchy. It stuck in my head. So I gave it a spin, and the song I'm going to feature today is called Bullet Blues, and the chorus has not left my consciousness. Drop the needle on the 45. What a crown, don't make life so tough. Another Sunday morning in your Saturday clothes, meeting your shadow when you're head enough. Life's reality's a lonely place, one way to get to the blues. Don't take a chance if you know what you want. Hit you win, tails I lose.
Bullet Blues. Oh Lord, help me please, man.
All right, next up is Black Country Communion. Now, this is a, quote, supergroup of sorts, which basically means it has two people you've heard of and
probably
two
others not.
That, yeah, exactly. So it on lead vocals is Glenn Hughes, who has been in a ton of bands, including Deep Purple at one point, and the album that I'm not that familiar with, but at one point where, you know, Tony Iommi was just having everybody that was on the street, he would grab him off the and say, like, would you like to do lead vocals in this album? He did.
That was a great record.
It might have been, but I'm just saying that every album Seventh had a different Star. Vocalist. Seventh Star, okay. So you like that album? I've never heard it.
Well, you should.
Okay, make good.
You'll be more sexy after you do.
Okay. That's a hell of a sales pitch.
So thanks.
I'll check it out. Black Sabbath, Seventh Star. You'll be sexier after you're done.
Glenn Hughes is a singer I pretty much worship as far as his ability to sing, and this is kind of disappointing. I get how they cranked out 3 records in 2.5 years because it doesn't take a lot of work to write bad music.
Well, listen, I get it. You don't like One Last Soul. It did not entrance you, but there's some pretty good music on these 2 albums, and I'm a pretty big critic when it comes to listening to things as a whole. And listen, there's a handful of songs. Maybe you check out a couple of the other ones I'm gonna send you. And I think that you,
okay,
since you like Glenn Hughes so much, maybe this is just not the vocal performance you're looking for. But there is definitely some good stuff in there that I can send you as a other option.
Okay. Well, yeah. Maybe I'll check that out then, LC. Is it cool if I call you LC?
No, it's not. It's Loose Cannon.
What about L Cannon?
So this is One Last Soul by Black Country Communion.
Big scheme, now you're ready to shine.
Next up is a band called Black Water Rising.
Never heard of them.
I figured as much. And that's what's cool about this, is just sharing music. And I'm hoping that another episode in the future, you send some stuff my way that I've never heard. Now,
right, this right band's, on.
Yeah, so this band's been around for about 5 or 6 years. And this is their second album that the song we're going to play today is from. It's from the album's called Piston Driven. Now, the album cover has a car on the front of it. It's a really cool album cover. Did you see the graphic? Or is it didn't?
It didn't come up on my what you sent me.
Okay, it didn't come up. Well, because it's just kind of amusing. The artist that did the cover is the same artist that did all those glorious Man of War covers.
Oh, really?
Yes, same artist. So the only thing missing Intrigued. On this... Yes. So when you see this picture, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's just a car with a skeleton driving it and just looks badass. But the only thing it's missing is, you know, oily men.
Loincloth covered.
On the top. Like, I look at this and I can just only imagine four greased up dudes on the top of it and like maybe a ship. Now,
I dig this song. I thought it was a bit of like a combo of Monster Magnet and Soundgarden, almost like if they were like a Monster Magnet and Soundgarden cover band, they would be pretty much the ideal musicians. So, but it was a great song, right up my alley.
Good chorus, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so it proves a lot of the time that if you have a song that has the word devil in it, a lot of times it's pretty good. And this is called "Dance with the Devil" by Black Water Rising.
Oh,
All right, Baco, it's been quite a journey. We have definitely done a lot of non sequiturs over the last 2 weeks, going into everything from Vince Neil to Skid Row and just random thoughts that have jumped in our head.
But, masturbation.
You know, yeah, all the stuff, just the things that you would not, you know, you shouldn't say in public, but we have. And, you know, it's been fun, and hopefully our listeners have discovered some bands that they like, and just been introduced to some new music. So in short, we couldn't cover all the bands because it would just go on forever. They have the word black in them. Were there some on your list that you wanted to
Black feature? Veil Brides, they're horrible. Black Eyed Peas, they're horrible. Black the Ripper, great name, never heard of you. I don't know. Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, I heard a couple songs I like. I don't know. What do you think?
Pay Black, I wasn't able to cover them. And Black to the Future, excellent band. Ooh,
Black to the Future.
Yeah, and then Black Street Boys, which we probably will have.
Love Black Street Boys.
Anyway, we're done. We spent a lot of time on the mic here, and we're calling it a day. So we hope you've enjoyed it. So from Cobras and Fire, this is Loose Cannon.
And this is Baco. Good night, Elsie.
Good night, Baco.
Some people are really fucking stupid. Did you ever notice that? How many really stupid people you run into during the day? God damn, there's a lot of stupid bastards walking around. Carry a little pad and pencil with you. You wind up with 30 or 40 names by the end of the day. Look at it this way. Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that. And it doesn't take you very long to spot one of them, does it? Take you about 8 seconds. You'll be listening to some guy. You say, this guy is fucking stupid. Then there are some people, they're not stupid, they're full of shit. That doesn't take very long to spot either, does it? Take you about the same amount of time. You'll be listening to some guy and say, well, he's fairly intelligent. He's full of shit.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.